Everyone, welcome back. It's another episode of Inside Boxing presented by PPV.com, Yahoo Sports, and Uncrowned. I'm Dan Canobio. He is the champ, Chris Algieri, coming to you from smoky, hot Long Island. We have wildfire smoke. We have a heat wave. We have a diarrhea parasite running through this land. Other than that, things are great, Chris. How are you?
I didn't hear about this this fire situation. What's that?
You know, every summer Canada is on fire. I don't know. They don't know how to regulate their fires. They don't know how to put out their fires. They just let them burn, and then it trickles down to us, and it ruins all of our beach days. It ruins our amazing New York City summer.
It's time to move to Florida, Dan. Come on.
I don't know about that. I wouldn't go that far. I'd rather breathe in the smoke than move to Florida. No.
We don't got smoke down here. We got no fire. We don't get fires. We're good.
You run from the smoke?
No. I want all the smoke.
Speaking of all the smoke, Argentina, congratulations. Another unbelievable come from behind, down on the cards, knock you out victory in the World Cup. So I know you're riding high as an Argentinian.
Yeah, for all you... All you who are just listening to the podcast, I'm wearing a shirt that has a heartbeat, and it has the Argentinian symbols on it, and because they are a cardiac team, and unless you know every time I watch them, I'm literally having a heart attack because they can't have an easy game. They have to, everything has to be tough.
It's unreal, man. It's People were comparing them to the New York Knicks this past year with the comeback wins. I put on Twitter, explain Argentina in football. Explain Argentina in boxing terms. 70 Eras Ali, Shock Foster clutching up in the final rounds. Rolly winning a title, TKO stoppage over Barroso, which means like the refs are in on it. A lot of that, like a lot of rigged, a lot of talking about the referees being on your side, corruption being on your side. What is that? How do you answer that?
I mean, there's just a lot of haters for a team that's trying to repeat. And obviously, there's a lot of attention. You know, it's Messi. He's the GOAT. And, you know, I think it would behoove everyone if he was in the final. But listen, no, FIFA's not helping him battle three defenders at the same time like he did yesterday. Like, the guy, he beats three guys. Like, two of them had to tackle him to stop him. I'm like, all right, that's not FIFA. That's a guy's skill.
And he's my age. He's 39. He's ridiculous. He's in our bracket, bro.
Yeah, he's a sniper. He just, if you watch how little he actually plays, he just waits. He just waits. He's like, I'm old,
bro.
He's in his rocking chair waiting to kick a goal.
I saw something on Twitter. It's like, you know, looks maxing, like clavicular, and all these guys that are like using all these tools on their face to get the perfect face, the perfect body. Then they're like, here's this 5'7" guy who like his side
Short
profile
King.
Is like insane. He looks so strange, Messi. No offense. I'm not trying to look at his looks, but. This dude is not a genetic specimen, and he's one of the best soccer player ever. We're watching Ali, Tom Brady, Wayne Gretzky go down the list. Like, it's unreal in that regard.
Yeah, no, he is absolutely the GOAT. There was a big discussion for a long time with him and Ronaldo. I think that's put to rest. Although there's some fanboys out there that are still Ronaldo heads. But
one last thing, though. It is hilarious to see how England chokes in almost every sport.
Yeah, they're not hardy. They don't bend, they break.
Yeah.
It's just like,
you know, whether it's Mexicans just beating the piss out of them in their boxing.
Yeah. So, they've become known for it. So,
yeah, it's their thing. 60 more years of waiting. It's not coming home. I love our English listeners. I know I put a tweet out, pissed them off, people off, but I just said that.
Their team was very good. Yeah. They're excellent.
I just said,
Kane's awesome.
If one thing, England is phenomenal at losing. They have become phenomenal at losing. Got people chirping at me. What did you guys win? I was like, no one cares about U.S. soccer. You don't care. Like, you can say all you want about U.S. soccer. It's not going to hurt us. It's not going to offend us. It's not going to piss us off. So, all right. Yeah. So that covers everything. Diarrhea. Heat wave,
fires, FIFA,
anything else? No.
Messi, Argentina hate, England hate. I think we're good.
All right, let's get into the boxing. This is Inside Boxing. Big time fight announced yesterday. Ryan Garcia, Conor Benn, official for September 12th, Las Vegas, WBC title on the line. But the big surprise here with Ryan Garcia and Connor Benn is that it's going to stream on Paramount Plus. This is the first significant boxing event to stream on Paramount Plus. Obviously, they have the UFC deal, White House card, Conor McGregor last week. But if you look at the business aspects of things here, I thought for sure this would be a Netflix event. I thought for sure this would maybe be a DAZN event. But now we peel it back a little bit and we see that Paramount gets this fight. Zuffa flexes their muscle and says, you know what? No longer are we putting fights on Netflix or DAZN. We have a deal with Paramount. And I think we have ourselves an old-fashioned duel here between DAZN and Zuffa slash Paramount. And it shows that the biggest fights can be anywhere. The biggest fights can be made. Ryan Garcia versus Conor Benn is a big fight, despite both of them kind of having their shortcomings and their problems out of the ring and all that. There's a lot to peel back here with this fight.
Yeah, and I mean, it is for the title, right? It is for Ryan's title.
Correct.
Is that, that's confirmed. Okay, so that's another thing that we're learning, that Zuffa can have title fights where the belts are on the line. So
they just completely have an about face. They're realizing boxing is very hard to deal with.
I said it early on. I'm like, as soon as they made one like pull back on what they said, I'm like, oh, they're gonna pull back on everything, because they have to, because like you said, boxing is way too difficult to deal with in that way. That's just way too many strong powers that be that are just not gonna step aside. I don't care how much money you throw around, like they have money too, not quite the same, but still. As soon as they started acquiescing at all, I was like, all right, this is just gonna fall into, you know, another promotion, another belt, and that's seeming like where it's heading. I mean, they're not gonna stop, they're not gonna slow down, but this is a big move bringing it onto Paramount. And you know, you've been taking Ryan away from DAZN. It's interesting how this is going to go, because Paramount, I think with these cards, I mean, the McGregor card struggled mightily.
You think so?
So I think so. I mean, that was embarrassing. That was a really bad end.
Once again, Twitter Dan, I was in Montauk having the time of my life watching the McGregor fight. We'll have a little aside here. We'll get back to the Ryan in a second. It was embarrassing. Thank you for saying that, Chris. Because I tweeted out, it is nice to see a sport other than boxing be an embarrassment for a day. And the reason why I say that is because this was a money grab. UFC, I've been told for years, forever, or as long as they've been around, 25 years, that they don't do money grabs.
Yeah, okay.
That result that we saw, that was a boxing result. We've seen that numerous times in boxing. When you leave with a sour taste in your mouth, or you know a fighter comes in hurt. It's the fight game as well. But you just don't see – you see it more in boxing than you see it in the UFC. Was McGregor hurt beforehand? We'll never know. A lot of signs are pointing to he was. But we've seen boxers try to give it a go in there, and they come up short. Not with that many eyeballs on a fight. So
yeah, but giving it a go is one thing. McGregor didn't even give it a go. That was crazy.
That was your problem with it, right? The fact that you think he could have fought on a little longer,
or just fought at all. Like, he didn't fight. Like, he didn't get punched. He didn't get hit. Like, come on, dude. Like, he literally just threw the most wild kick possible. He probably already had a compromised knee, and then he hurts it more. I'm not saying he didn't, but then like you just get up and fall down, and then you kick your legs out. It was terrible. Just fight, dude. When fighters fight when they're hurt, they still fight and they get knocked out. I'm talking about boxers.
It was embarrassing for UFC standards. Like I said, like the UFC tries to put themselves, we are the best promotion, fight promotion in the world. We don't do cash grabs. We don't do going out of business sales. That type of result you see in boxing quite often. And
that was a going out of business sale. That's a good way to put it.
Right. And that's what Dana White has always said about promoters. Like, boxing's a joke. Every event, they just try to take as much money as they possibly can. The product suffers. And this doesn't happen often in UFC. I will give them that. But it happened with McGregor that week. And, you know, that's the type of result you see in boxing often. We have to try to defend it, or we just have to shrug our shoulders. And then Dana White gets up there and laughs at the sport and talks down on it. It was nice to see him kind of have to squirm a little bit and try to defend everything that is now coming out with that McGregor fight. And that's why I thought it was an embarrassing moment. Not only that, like, an entire promotion built around a guy who with the checkered past and has had so many transgressions, and whether it's PEDs, whether it's drugs, whether it's rape, you just go down the freaking bingo card of horrible, horrible things this guy does. Built a whole damn promotion around the guy.
And he hasn't fought in 5 years. What do you expect? And it's funny. You really see how Dana reacted afterwards. That really shows you that something was up, because normally he would shit on a bad card. He would shit on a bad result. This one, he was just like, eh, you know, he hadn't fought in 5 years, so we weren't really sure what was going to happen. No big deal. Moving on. Like, no.
Because they printed money.
Exactly.
$26 million gate. Probably record viewership. They were it was trending more than the White House card. Like, that number hasn't come out yet. The merch sales, the gambling aspect of it, it was one of the most bet on fights in the history of the sports.
Yeah, but
gambling.
The bad taste it's going to leave in everyone's mouth.
We'll say this. The only saving grace is that it was not a pay-per-view. This was part of your Paramount deal, which is kind of a slippery slope, and we're seeing that with Zuffa putting this on Paramount, and we're getting away from the PPV model where, like, I feel like you're more liable, like, promoters. Like, remember when Pacquiao admitted that he had a shoulder injury? And there was class action lawsuits and stuff, because big difference between throwing down $100 and then paying your $8 a month or $12 a month subscription.
Oh, for sure. But also, I don't want them to be like, oh, well, you're not paying for it, so we don't really have to provide the same kind of service as well. Because then they can fall back on that and be like, well, you didn't have to pay for it. And, like, yeah, we still got to. You still got to give us good product. That was not a good product.
No, it was not. It was the card was amazing though. The undercard was phenomenal. Those are awesome fights. But you know, most people were tuning in for McGregor. Like, it was an event based for the casuals to reel them in. The hardcores are going to watch every fight, and they were tuned in early on because that was a good card. I will give them that. What do you think McGregor does though next? He's got the one more fight on his UFC contract. And then he wants to become a free agent. Like, there's the Jake Pauls out there. There's Bare Knuckle. Like, what do you think? I don't think he's done at all.
I think he goes to boxing again. Goes back to boxing. I think his lower leg injuries are a real issue. You know, now he's gotten two in his last two fights. Literally broke his leg in half, and then his knee gave out on him. So the kicking isn't there for him anymore, but there's still money to be made, and he can go out there and go fight Jake Paul. I wouldn't be surprised.
That's what I've said since, like, I mean, it's not a groundbreaking comment by me, but I've been saying it for like 3 years. I think it was one of the first things I ever said to Jake Paul. I was like, can we just fast forward to the point where you fight Conor McGregor? But that was when McGregor was out of the cage for a while, and now one more fight. And the fact that McGregor is tweeting out, like, one more fight in my contract, like, I've never heard him mention that. But we know how these UFC contracts are. So that's why he got in the ring, in the cage too, I believe, even if he was compromised. I gotta get this fight in. Gotta get
this out of the way.
Million. Gotta get one more fight to go. If it's a meniscus, I feel like he'll be back quicker than obviously a ACL tear. But it's interesting because I do think he will box. I do think it will be like a Jake Paul type, and who knows where that could be. Maybe that ends up on Zuffa. Well, they're talking about maybe a Mayweather McGregor Zuffa boxing match.
A rematch?
Yeah, because I don't know if you caught Dana White said, someone asked Dana White about Mayweather's money problems. And he goes, oh, man, it's unfortunate. Hopefully there's something we can do for him.
Oh, boy.
I got this little boxing promotion. Maybe we can throw him in the ring. You know, one of the greatest to ever do it. There's no interest in that fight at all.
No. I got a bad taste in my mouth just thinking about it.
Yeah, it was a fun build-up, but there's no interest in that. But speaking of Zuffa, Conor Benn signs with Zuffa. He gets the big-time deal with Regis Progray for the exorbitant amount of money, but we knew that this was not a one-fight deal. It was going to be a multiple-fight deal. In steps Ryan Garcia. We talked about how the fight is on Zuffa. I want to talk about the actual fight, because this is inside boxing. We fancy ourselves as guys that break down fights here. You got to figure Ryan is the heavy favorite. You don't know which Ryan will show up. I loved what we saw against Barrios. With Ben, Chris, he hasn't fought at 147 since 2021.
Yeah, and he didn't look good when he fought Progray at 149. He looked weight drained, and Ryan has been looking better and better. But even Ryan's, what was Ryan's worst performance?
Rolly Gervonta? Romero, by far.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
It's one of the
That's
worst true. Performances in the history of boxing in terms of punches
yeah,
thrown.
Yeah, that's true.
18 power shots landed.
Yikes.
Combined 490 punches between Rolly and Ryan. That was just one fight removed from the Barrios fight.
Right. So, like, yeah, no, the inconsistency of Ryan. But the one thing Ryan always has that left hook. He couldn't land it on Rolly, but Ben is nowhere near, he's not a defensive guy. He doesn't have amateur pedigree to speak about. And whether it doesn't mean necessarily mean like, oh, I always say, oh, one punch can change a fight. And that doesn't mean you get knocked out, but you get hurt and you get stunned. Kind of like Ryan when he got stunned by Rollies. That one punch changed that entire fight. So Ryan does have that. And Ben has just not shown to have that same power at 147 anymore. So I don't know. Yeah, I certainly favor Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan should be like a 2-1, maybe 3-1 favorite in this fight, mostly because of Ben not being able to get down to 147 or hasn't fought at 147 since 2021. He fought, his last fight was at 150. He had the two fights at 160 with Eubank. But I will say it's a fight where both guys have like explosive, they come off explosive. Like Ryan has way more power. Ben had power, but like does have those explosive moments. He was able to drop Eubank in that fight, but Eubank was a corpse in there. And Progray as well, bad knees. Like Progray has come out and said that my entire body, like he was put together with duct tape. And Conor Ben still couldn't get him down. But Ben is an aggressive fighter. If anything, I think it will be an exciting fight because we just talked about all the warts of this. You know, Ryan is one fight removed from one of the worst performances ever. You know, the Barrios is not a great champion, and Ryan did the job in there. And Ben, we know about Ben. Does he deserve to be the number one mandatory at 147? That's absolutely ludicrous. Hasn't had a big win in a long, long time. But I will say this. I think it will be an exciting fight. And it's two big names. And we've talked about this numerous times. Meritocracy does not exist in this sport. It's a star-driven sport. And these are two names at the moment in boxing.
Yeah, and they're two crossover guys fighting each other. It's going to be huge. And the promotion is going to be big. The marketing of the machine that is behind them is going to push this. All that's going to be good, and it's going to be fun. These guys don't like each other legitimately. But going back to, you know, the strength of schedule, Ben hasn't beat anyone under the age of 35 to speak of. Ryan's in his prime. That's a big caveat of this is Ryan is young and fresh and fast and hits hard. He's taller, he's longer, he's faster, he hits harder. He's got more experience. You name it. The more you talk about it, the more you talk it out, the more this fight becomes a one-sided fight.
You could see a spectacular knockout. You can see Ben
good.
On his...
Ben has a good chin, though. I will say that because in the Eubank fight, fighting at 160, the first fight with Eubank, he got hit with some big shots, even when he was really tired late in the fight. And you know, he got hurt a few times, but he didn't go down. He didn't get knocked out. So he does have a chin, even from, you know, those from Eubank, who was weight drained.
The speed, though. The speed edge
is a big difference.
The speed edge is crazy. Ryan's going to catch him. And big promotion. We'll see who's on the undercard. I don't know if like Golden Boy's going to have a few fights on it. I'm sure Zuffa is going to have a few of their guys on it. All working together, and you brought this up earlier. It's funny to see Zuffa, who came into this sport saying, we're getting rid of excess weight classes. We're getting rid of the belts. We're not working with any other promoters. This fight is a co-promotion with Golden Boy. This fight is for the WBC title. This fight is for the 147 WBC title. They are working. They are just another promoter, Zuffa, right now.
And Dana's working with Oscar, like heated.
Which I
heated
think is
rivalry.
A big aspect of this. Someone on Twitter said, "I promise you, no one cares that Oscar and Dana are going to be on the stage together." No, it's not something that I generally care about. Like I find that the promoter stuff to get a little tiresome, but this is Oscar and Dana. These guys have had a long-standing beef. They're almost bigger than some of the current-day fighters. Eddie, Oscar, and Dana are just as big as some fighters out there today. So that will
bigger
be a
than
big
most.
Part of this.
Bigger than most fighters, actually. I've always said Eddie's you know bigger than a lot of his roster.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Eddie, man, oof, he's punching air right now.
Eddie's always up to something, man. He's never completely out of the mix. He's a competitor.
Yeah, but think about it from any standpoint. You know, Connor's my guy. I stuck with
not
him.
No more. You're not. You're know, not his guy anymore.
Stuck with him through thick and thin. He leaves for Dana White, and then he gets this Ryan Garcia fight that he's now not a part of at all. And it's not even on DAZN. It's not even like Eddie. He's almost synonymous with DAZN now too. It's on Zuffa. I mean, excuse me. It's on Paramount. So Eddie has absolutely nothing to do with this fight. You see Ryan Garcia, you know, posted up taking pictures with Dana. That's got to piss off Oscar. I don't know. Like, this isn't the main part of it, but there's a lot to dig in with this fight, and it's going to be the next big one. It's the September fight. It's another aspect of it, too. Ryan Garcia gets his turn on the big Mexican weekend. Benavidez in May. Now it's Ryan Garcia in September, because as Canelo slowly fades away and left this date, too. This was supposed to be Canelo versus Skull. Canelo says, I'm not ready. I want to hang out with my daughter. I want to watch World Cup. No, this is a bigger event than Canelo Skull. Canelo Skull in Riyadh. If Canelo was fighting here, I still think it would have supplanted this.
You mean Canelo and Billy?
Yeah, sorry.
But yeah, no, that I didn't think about that. Ryan entering the September date as a Mexican American too. You know, I don't know how much he's really accepted by Mexicans, but like, it doesn't matter. He's still fighting on that date. That's a big deal. That's a sort of a passing of a torch. No, not sort of. It is a passing of a torch moment. Ryan wins his fight. He does it spectacularly. That's a big deal.
Yeah, I think this is a calculated move on his part. You had the Haney fight out there, which is a lot tougher. There's a lot of other welterweight fights out there. You can even Teofimo fight is tougher. Rolly fight is tougher. I mean, he already lost to Rolly. You know, Teofimo's fighting Rolly. Devin Haney could be fighting Shakur. Like, Ryan flirted with Shakur Stevenson for about a month after Shakur's win in late January. But you choose Conor Benn because it's an easier fight and it's going to make you boatloads of money. So I get that. I have no problem with that. I think there's a lot of fighters that were lining up and trying to get Conor Benn's attention. So they see him as food, right?
Yeah, he's low-hanging fruit in that division right now. In fact, that division got really good. It was a barren wasteland for a bit, and then like we had a couple stars come up for 140. Ryan, like, showed back up and showed who he is. The division is strong, and Ben is a money guy. So a lot of guys did want him. He doesn't have a title, but he's a money guy. And everyone wants the Ryan fight too, though. Because not because Ryan's food. Ryan's very dangerous, but it's because Ryan has a title and Ryan comes with a huge payday. So you got two guys that are targeted fighting each other. So good on their two teams to come together and take themselves out of the atmosphere over there and fight each other.
Back to the Paramount Plus aspect of this. Wonder how fans are feeling, because obviously DAZN has pushed forward and put together a great offerings as of late to kind of justify their DAZN Ultimate, which is like a $500+. So you figure you're going to get every fight now. Every promotion is now under the banner of DAZN, including PBC as of last week, Top Rank obviously as well, and then everyone else. So you kind of had to think, like, all right, this fight's going to end up on DAZN in some regard. Whether it's, you know, you'll be able to get it with your DAZN package. You're not getting it with your DAZN package, but you're getting it on Paramount Plus, which is $8 a month. Most people have it. If not, then you can, you know, you get it for a month and then you get rid of it. It's not $80, it's not $100, it's Paramount Plus. But I really think there's going to be a little bit of a battle here between DAZN and Zuffa. Like, that's the battle now, because this fight could have easily ended up on Netflix. We've seen that in the past. This fight could have ended up on DAZN in the U.S., but it's on Paramount Plus. And I think that there was a big-time negotiation. I would have loved to have seen behind the scenes what that looked like to get this, for Zuffa to finally put their foot down and be like, why are we, all of our big signings, Conor Benn or now Shakur, why are all these fights happening on Netflix? Why are they happening on other platforms, DAZN? How come they're not happening on Paramount, which we're giving you a $7 billion deal over 7 years? So I think that right there is Paramount's going to try to get some more big-time boxing events with Turkey behind it and Zuffa.
Well, they need to do something, because the allegiance that's been developed on the DAZN side, where they've got everybody, that was a big play. That was a big, big play. And for Paramount and Zuffa to stay afloat, they needed to do something like this. They needed to pull this one out of the bag. And maybe they're sitting on this one a little bit, but after last week, PBC joining the DAZN, where everyone's looking at this Ultimate package like, yeah, this thing is not only worth it, it's you have to have it at this point. If you're a boxing fan, you literally have to have DAZN. You know, so they had to make a play, and they did. So Competition's good, man. We're getting a lot of boxing, but it just sucks because everything's behind a paywall.
Yeah, but I feel like Paramount, like, do you think more people have Paramount or DAZN overall? Paramount?
Paramount. I couldn't tell you, honestly. I would say Paramount because of the TV shows.
Yeah, movies, shows. DAZN doesn't have any of that.
Nah, so it's definitely got to be Paramount.
In the U.S., yeah. I know overseas DAZN.
I know DAZN's, DAZN's big globally.
Yeah, because they got football, NFL rights. They have a lot of sports rights to different sporting events. But yeah, it's going to be it's very, very interesting.
I'll say this. This might be weird. I personally don't like boxing on Netflix, boxing on Paramount. Like I want a dedicated sports network. I like that on ESPN. You know, I like that on my ESPN app. You know, I like DAZN as my designated sports app. Like, I don't want to be, you know, watching reality TV and then, you know, get a commercial for a fight. I don't know. I just don't know. I like to keep it separate for whatever reason.
No, it's the new world we're living in. The Home Run Derby on Monday night was on Netflix for the first time ever. They took it away from me.
Oh, I heard a big backlash about that. I heard Will Ferrell got a big, like, he was, they're like really coming down.
Will Ferrell is just not funny.
Just
anymore.
Like insufferable.
Just, yeah, it's just. They're buying, Netflix is buying the rights to these sporting events every, you know, where they can. Where the boxing is, they can infiltrate that. But now they're getting a little bit of baseball now. They obviously have NFL on Christmas. There's like two or three games on Netflix. But they've got the opening day, they had baseball, Yankees, Giants, and it did horribly in terms of ratings. And then they have the Home Run Derby, which was Monday. And then now they have the Field of Dreams game next month. Which is a regular season game played in a cornfield in Iowa, which is actually pretty damn cool. But
that is cool.
You're right. Like they were feeding in different aspects of Netflix. They were feeding in their shows. They're feeding in Will Ferrell. They're feeding in all these different things. It's a whole different presentation. And we're kind of seeing that with the fight game too. It's like they're trying. It's really hard to nail down a boxing telecast. I overall think it's been pretty good. Like the Canelo Crawford, I thought was pretty well done. But there are certain aspects of it that it's going to be an adjustment, like you said. Like you don't like to see your entertainment and sports mixed up.
Yeah, I just like to keep that separate. That's just the organization of my life. I mean, it might be a stupid thought, but it's like, we're getting boxing in the mainstream, but I'm also like trying to keep it separate. I don't know sports. I don't know. I keep my sports and my rom coms in separate containers.
I'm curious to see how Ryan Garcia gets pushed with Zuffa behind him. Because I know Golden Boy is part of this, but I feel like they're almost going to take a back seat. Like, you know, Oscar put out a little video. Now, they do have a Golden Boy on the signage. This is a Zuffa event. It's on Paramount. This is Turkey. This is Dana White. I'm curious to see, like, Ryan Garcia is transcendent. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah, I was going to say, but Ryan's the star.
He is.
Like
when I ask people like who don't watch boxing, when I ask people that don't watch sports, I say, do you know who Ryan Garcia is? They say, oh, yeah. I know him.
Of course.
There's not many fighters you could say. I saw Boots doing interviews. I love that he's doing interviews after his fight, saying that he's the face of boxing. I don't think so. I think to be the face of boxing, you have to be someone where they just, that's the boxing guy. Like Ryan Garcia went on late night with Jimmy Fallon. Like I don't see Boots doing that yet. Like I would love to see it. I just don't. He's almost like the representative of boxing now, which is crazy, Ryan Garcia.
Yeah, I was walking around in California a few weeks ago for a pro box show, and I saw on a liquor store there was a big sign of Canelo Alvarez holding a vodka cocktail, and I'm like, no, that's the face of boxing. Yeah. You know, that's Canelo. The kind of thing, right? That's the thing that you see with guys who are considered the face of boxing.
Yeah,
not Boots. Boots is a damn good fighter. He has the ability to take over the sport based on his talent, but becoming the face, the money train. Guys like Canelo, guys like Oscar De La Hoya, guys like Floyd Mayweather, you know, that's a whole different thing.
It's almost still Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson was at the ESPYs, all over the ESPYs last night. It was nothing to
Mike
watch.
Mike moves the needle, man. Oh, my Mike God. Moves still, the needle, no matter
he
what.
He might still be face. Mayweather said it. I'm still the face of boxing when he was doing an interview last week or 2 weeks ago. Like, yeah, unfortunately. Not really, but like no one has really emerged from this era besides Canelo. Like Tyson Fury, yes. Joshua, yes. But they're at the end now, and they're going to be out the door. Like Ryan Garcia is coming into his own. Like Mike Tyson was all over the ESPYs last night. He was everywhere. So like people still associate Tyson. I think Rocky, if face of boxing. You've seen this new movie, I Am Rocky?
Yeah, I've been seeing it on social media. I haven't given it too much attention, though. But
it's a movie about a guy making a movie about a guy.
It's a movie about
the making of the Rocky.
It's very meta.
I'll watch. I think it's like that's.
I'll watch. Yeah, listen. I watch anything boxing. I don't care. You know.
But. I think it just shows how popular and how the Rocky franchise is. This is now where
it's ridiculous. Like, how many movies are there? 7?
Well, now you can add 8 now because now we're making movies about how they made the movie. I got an email in my.
Is Stallone part of it? Is he producing it?
He's got to be part of it. The actor does look like him. He's got a very strange Sylvester Stallone accent thing going on. But it hit my inbox yesterday, the trailer, from the movie company.
What's it called?
I Am Rocky. They got a. It's just, you know, the story of how Rocky was made is pretty damn interesting. You know, like Sylvester Stallone, like, wouldn't take no for an answer. I play Rocky. You know, Stallone wanted to be in the movie and, like, he wouldn't sell it. Like, all these Hollywood companies wanted the script. They loved the script. But he's like, I have to play
Rocky. They didn't want him to play it.
Right. No one wanted him. So, like, he dug in. I love that. Like, that part is, that's like Rocky right there. That aspect.
This actor does look like Stallone, though. Wow.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
I mean, I'll watch out of curiosity. Is it in the theater?
I'm definitely going to watch it. I love Rocky, but also I love Stallone. I love everything Stallone does. I think he's awesome. Even like Tulsa King and all that's awesome.
Who do you think has a better career? Who's had the better movies? Schwarzenegger or Stallone?
So I used to have this debate all the time when I was a kid. And I was like, listen, I was born in the 80s. Like, I was the 80s action movie kid and young adult. And I always favored Schwarzenegger. But there's no question it's Sly. Because the quality of the movies that he produced, like the films. Rocky's a film, dude. Yeah. Rocky's one of the best movies you could ever see. And Schwarzenegger was a fantastic actor, great, you know, action star, you know, all of that. But like, when it comes to film and acting, Stallone, man, he also wrote the damn thing. Like, it's ridiculous how talented he is.
Yeah, I think it's him in terms of better movies. You know, they had like a rivalry. I was watching
this
I Am Stallone or something like that documentary was amazing. And then the Schwarzenegger documentary was equally as great.
They're both wildly competitive people.
Yeah, with each other.
Like, you know, no, yeah, well, with everyone around them. I've heard stories about all of them on both of them on set, and they're just like, they're literally at war with everybody around them.
Yeah, but I saw that like Schwarzenegger and Stallone were going at it in terms of what movie, like the movie's doing better at the box office.
Yeah,
and
I actually remember that.
They were going at it, and then I think Schwarzenegger has had the more impressive life because he was Mr. Olympia.
Oh, for certainly.
Like the bodybuilder life.
Immigrant. Mr. Olympia, returned actor, and then politician. Like,
bro, the guy was the governor of like California.
It's ridiculous. No, it's ridiculous. In terms of success of career life, yeah, I'd say Schwarzenegger. But dude, in terms of movie career is Stallone.
Go watch the Schwarzenegger doc. It's three parts, and it's just the three parts are bodybuilder, which is a whole life that he led, and it could be a documentary.
And
its
was
own
the best.
Right. Number one action star in the world was part two. And then part three was I Am the Governor of California.
The governor.
The governator. So.
The governator.
Unreal.
Nah, but they both rule. But I love Schwarzenegger.
Intertwined into all of this is Shakur Stevenson. He went on Ariel Helwani's show. Go check it out on Crown Network. And said he's verbally agreed to fight Devin Haney at 144 pounds this October. That could be the next Zuffa event there as well. So I've talked about this. I've been asked this on Ariel's show. It's like, what do you think of Zuffa? And I said, I do think they will be the last ones standing because I think they just have so much power, money, and the right people behind them. But I'm not impressed with an Usyk one-off because that doesn't really tell me anything. Like, I'm not impressed with Joshua and Fury because that's just putting your name and signage on a fight that's they're at the end of their careers. If Zuffa can pull off Stevenson versus Devin Haney, and that's a real Zuffa event, they signed Shakur Stevenson. If they sign Haney next to a multi-fight deal and they make that fight, in addition to this Ryan Connor Bennett fight and all the other ones, then they're building some serious, serious momentum because Dana said, judge us at the end of the year, not now.
Yes and no, but these guys are huge cash grabs. Like,
but they're still relatively young.
Yeah, yeah, but Shakur is a big one. But my issue with Shakur is I have a little concern because Shakur has already alluded to he's going to retire young. You know, how much more does he actually have? He made that great comment, which he's absolutely right about, and it was very smart to have that forethought. He's like, listen, my style is based on reactivity. That's the first thing to go. I'm not going to be fighting that, you know, that late into my 30s kind of thing. You know, do you remember him saying that? I mean, he said that pretty recently, so.
I don't really, I've never once thought of, I haven't thought of Shakur not fighting. I still think of him as this young, smiling kid.
He's not. What is he? He's 29, 30, 29. You know? Yeah, he's 29. So if he's being smart, which he obviously is, and he's got really good, smart people around him, I mean, a lot of good fighters retire at 32, 33. You know, like Tim Bradley was pretty young when he retired. He wasn't anywhere near 35. You know, Andre Ward's another guy who retired relatively young. You know, it's a smart thing to do. He's accomplished as much as he's accomplished. You know, 3-4 division weight champion, made at this point it'd be tens of millions of dollars. Like, yeah. How much longer is he going to go? He doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to be like a lifer fighting into his 40s. So, and with Ryan and Ben, they're huge crossover stars. They're big price tags, both of them. Both those guys are getting paid a lot. So I don't know how sustainable it is to do, like you said, these one-offs. These guys, these aren't that much more than one-offs. They're really expensive.
Yeah, we have yet to see, I think we're in the first chapter of Zuffa, we've yet to see them develop a star. Like how Top Rank can sign Xander Zayas at 16, craft him into a world champion to where he's selling the Barclays Center, his sold-out event. Like, we haven't seen Zuffa either do that yet, or it's still early. Will they do that? But there's different levels of them throwing money at fights. Like I said, throwing money at Usyk. Okay, anyone can literally do that. Any boxing promotion can do that. The rung below that, in terms of age, is the Ryan Garcias, the Conor Benz, Coors, and the Haney's. I still think that is somewhat impressive. They are still throwing money at it, but I want to see what more they can do in terms of developing stars, which Matchroom has done, Top Rank has done, Golden Boy has done phenomenally.
Yeah, if you got a guy like David Benavidez, that would be like, because he's going to be going in for a while. He's going to be fighting for a long time.
He's the same age though as Shakur.
He is, but they have different career spans. I don't see David retiring young. That guy's going to fight for a long time, most likely.
See Devin Haney retiring young? If Zuffa finds Devin Haney?
No, that's a big one too, because I think Devin's going to be here for a while. Devin's put a lot of time into this, but Devin's never even alluded to retiring young, or I've never even brought it up.
So during the Ariel Helwani interview with Shakur Stevenson, Stevenson said that the Zone came in late with an offer similar to Zuffa's. And I'm like thinking, the Zone, not Matchroom, not PBC, the network. And and if you looked at Teofimo, is wearing the Zone at. He says that the Zone signed me to my next fight deal. This is a new development. The Zone is being very aggressive. Not promoters signing fighters. The Zone is trying to lock up fighters like Shakur Stevenson, Teofimo Lopez, which leads me to believe that we're going to have this Paramount/Zuffa versus the Zone, because the Zone wants to lock up fighters now.
Yeah, it's network pressure. We're turning into HBO and Showtime in the 90s and 2000s. There was a lot of network pressure. Like when you fought on those networks, you had to fight certain levels of fighters. And that was based on their decree, not the promoters. The promoters wanted to put together easy fights. The network didn't. The network wants entertaining fights. They want competitive fights. They want competitive matchups. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. They're forcing guys to fight. They're forcing promoters to put their guys in dangerous fights. It's going to be good for the sport. It's good for the fans. It's good for competition. And now we're getting two battling networks, essentially, Paramount and DAZN.
I think DAZN has the leg up because they have all those promoters and they have all those fighters. But, like, do they have ironclad deals? Like, I thought Ryan Garcia was aligned with DAZN. I thought Anthony Joshua was exclusive to DAZN. Guy has, like, a lifetime partnership with them. He's fighting on Netflix against Jake Paul. He's fighting on Netflix against Tyson Fury. What does the fine print of this Shakur Stevenson contract look like? Because I know he said that he could fight on some ring cards. He could fight on some of these big-time Riyadh season cards. Are those going to end up on Paramount? Those are going to on DAZN? Can he fight on DAZN if he turned down essentially a deal with DAZN Shakur. Does he that mean in turn he can go then fight on DAZN later on if it's a ring card? It's just very, very confusing time in boxing.
Very confusing, and we'll never know. Every contract is different, and you know,
it's blurred.
It's the fine print. It's the fine print that matters, and we'll never get to know what the fine print is.
But there is a decision that has to be made for Devin Haney. He holds a lot of cards right now. It's the Keyshawn or Shakur card. If he fights Shakur at 144, which Shakur says he has agreed to and they have discussed, he has to give up that WBO belt because he is mandated to fight Keyshawn Davis. Which route do you think Devin Haney is going to go?
I think he goes for Keyshawn, keeping his belt. I think that him being more comfortable at the weight, Keyshawn first fight at 47, Keyshawn being inconsistent at times in his performances, I think there's an easier path to victory than the Shakur fight.
I think Devin can beat Shakur. I think Devin can beat Keyshawn. Right now, I think Shakur beats Devin Haney. And I think Haney kind of knows that. Or at least him and his dad are sitting there with their big dry erase board for the last 7 months, figuring out what they're going to do here. But he's kind of back to a little bit of a corner here. Either way, I like both fights. Like Devin versus Shakur, obviously it's a super fight. That's going to be in October. That's insane fight. And then Devin versus Keyshawn. Awesome
fight. Great fight. Yep.
So hopefully these all start happening.
And I think they're entertaining both fights, actually. Even the Shakur Haney fight, I think, would be more entertaining than like a Tio Shakur fight. Because I don't see it as being that one sided because of the dimensions of Devin. Devin's bigger, taller, longer, has a good long jab, has a good boxing IQ as well. And isn't just a counterpuncher the way that Tio is. Tio really got shut down because he was looking to counter a counterpuncher. He couldn't do it. But Devin can be offensive with the jab and stay long and fight on the outside. So I think it would be actually interesting to see them match wits in boxing IQ. And then Keyshawn's always a good fight. You know, he brings it. He's an offensive guy. He's going to fight. And Devin is too. Devin fights, man. That's a can't miss for me.
Yeah, I'm not saying like Keyshawn has no shot versus Devin Haney.
No, not at all. It's a more winnable fight.
Yeah, it's a more winnable fight. Like, we've seen Haney get that chin checked a few times, and Keyshawn can find that. It's got to come to a head.
Can Keyshawn punch at welterweight?
Yeah,
because his power wasn't great at 140 against real guys. You know what happens at 47, going up another weight class. And Devin's, have you seen the video of Devin hitting the bag? I think they posted it today. He's huge.
It's the only thing he's been doing these days. It's a lot of gym stuff. Like I talked about the disappointment in our previous episode with Devin Haney. Get in the ring. I think we're coming to a head here because we're entering the second half of the year. We have to announce fights. We have the WBO stepping in and kind of forcing Devin Haney's hand. We have Shakur saying that he's verbally agreed to his side of the deal against Devin Haney. He's got the Zuffa money. I wouldn't be shocked if Zuffa's next signing was Shakur, was Devin Haney. So it's all, I've been trying to like kind of avoid it because it's just complete nonsense Twitter stuff, but now it's almost unavoidable now, trying to figure out who's going to go where. And then I think we'll get an announcement pretty soon. Teofimo Rolly Romero, we talked about it a little bit in previous episodes, but that's now been announced. They have a press conference. They had a press conference already. I love this fight. This is like a throwback. No one wants to fight Rolly. Teofimo feels like now's the time where I have to step on the gas pedal with my career. I lost to Shakur. I stepped right back into a title fight at a different weight class. They have a friendship. They put that to the side. I love that aspect of it. I like this fight. I think it's going to be a fun fight, and it's needed in the sport right now.
I love this fight. These guys are both putting it on the line. A lot to lose for either man. A lot to gain as well. And both these guys need to fight and they need to win. The only thing I'm going to be critical of is the fact that Teofimo is going to jump the line at 47. Yeah. 47 is a stacked weight class. I've been saying that now. You got a lot of guys. You got a guy like Raul Coriel just waiting in the wings. He's just going to get overlooked. Or Teofimo Lopez coming off of a loss, a dominated loss at 140, jumps up right to 47, right into a title fight. With a guy who, I mean, he was avoiding Gaisiev. What is his name?
Gaisanov.
But, you know, he avoided him quite a bit, and he was looking for bigger fish. I get it, but like you have your mandatories. That part I don't like, but the matchup I love. I love it. I like both the guys. It's a really tough fight to pick a winner. Trying to strategically break this fight down, how they're gonna perform based on what they have. Difficult fight to analyze and to figure out who's gonna win, but it's a good fight.
You can't sleep on Rolly anymore, man.
At all. Nope.
Even though he hasn't fought since the Ryan fight, because he's been negotiating, failed negotiations, the GSF got looming over it. But it's funny because Rolly, we feel like, didn't deserve a shot at Ryan in the May fight of last year. Ryan coming off of the Haney fight, which was an impossible situation there. Rolly beats Ryan in that one. He becomes champion and then is on the bench, I should say, looking out. Teofimo is a champ at 140, goes up to 147, loses that fight against Shakur at 140, and then he gets right into a title shot. We have Ryan Garcia, who's gifted title shot. We have Conor Benn, who's gifted title shots. Like, this is just what it is now. Like, the fight, that's why Shakur versus Devin, like, that's a fight between two guys that are, like, at the top of their weight classes, two different weight classes, meeting. And there's no, you can't really poke holes in that one because Haney beat Brian Norman. Shakur is Shakur. But you can poke holes in some of these other ones because there's just not a lot of stars and they have to fight each other. So that's why I have no problem with Teofimo and Rolly fighting each other, because it's like, it's almost like they were looking at other dance partners, Teofimo and Rolly, and they probably just looked at each other, texted each other, and goes, all right, I guess we're just going to have to fight each other.
Well, that's what I said about Ryan and Connor. Like, you got two guys, everybody's looking at them, everybody wants to fight us, and they're just like, who am I going to fight? Who am I going to pick? Who am I going to pick? Oh, we're going to pick each other. Yeah. Boom. All right, there you go. Same idea. So, I hate that the guys who are ranked and been waiting have to continue to wait, but listen, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. This is a business. This is entertainment. Crossover stars are bigger money. It's a shame. I talked to Robert Garcia about this because he has the Royal Coriel. And he's like, I tell my guys, he goes, listen, you're going to get stepped over because these guys are the money guys and they're going to do it. But just wait. Just wait. You'll get your opportunity. Stay in shape. When the time comes, you'll be ready. And sure enough, a lot of times Robert's guys do knock off people when they do get their shot.
I wonder who the favorite is in this fight, because Teofimo, you know, we have it right here. FanDuel has Teofimo as the favorite, minus 230.
Yeah, I would say that. I would assume so. Even though the new weight class worries me about Teofimo Lopez, also coming off of such a bad loss, but also Rolly's has been really inactive. So there's pluses and minuses for both, but I think Tio should be the favorite.
So Teofimo wins. If he wins this fight, he has a piece of the welterweight title. Devin Haney has his piece. Is he going to fight Shakur? And then you have Ryan Garcia. Like, we could see Teofimo right in another big fight after this, whether it's Haney, finally, or whether it's Ryan Garcia, finally. Like that.
I do like that.
Do you see it, like, coming to a head? I see it coming to a head, all these fights.
Yeah, I think, all these guys who came up together are in the same orbit once again, and it's a good thing because I like all those fights. Haney and Tio, I like that fight.
That's supposed to be a fight like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Teofimo and Ryan Garcia too. Like, even though Ryan's so much bigger.
Yeah, so much bigger.
But
Tio's much smaller than these guys.
Yeah, that's the problem.
He's not a real welterweight. He's not even a big 40 pounder.
And you know who's lurking in the dark is Gervonta Davis, who is now in talks with Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, I don't.
What are we doing? Boxing is at it's just such a weird place.
Weird.
Where, like, you never know what you're gonna. The in talks graphics. Everyone's
verbal
in talks.
Agreements.
Verbal.
Everyone's in verbal agreements.
Well, I will say this: a Teofimo verbal agreement ended up being an actual fight.
Yeah. Good point. Good point.
Shakur's verbal agreement, I don't know.
Yeah, we were poo pooing the verbal agreement last week, and now here we are. Now it's
early
fight,
stages.
So there is that
verbal agreement. That's August 22nd on DAZN. Teofimo says he signed a $20 million deal with DAZN. I don't know if I really believe him.
I don't know. I can't believe
that's a lot of M's.
when Tio talks.
That's a lot of M's, bro. I don't know if Tio can bring back that type of return on investment. But I will say this, Teofimo he's fighting the fights. A lot of these guys are circling each other.
Yes.
He's fighting the fights. This guy he's putting together a great career. Like, the stuff outside of the ring was super frustrating years back with the racism and the just being.
He's not protecting his O because he doesn't have one. Man, he's not protecting his record. He's taking the tough fights, which I really appreciate.
Like that fight. Andy Ruiz is back. What do you make of this?
Mad about that? I like Andy Ruiz, man. I think he's still dangerous if he's in shape. I like that he signed with Matchroom because originally I heard he was signing with Zuffa.
Yeah, I thought Zuffa for sure.
Yeah, I thought for sure too. I'm sure they were in talks, but like this is a good move because listen, we might get the Anthony Joshua Andy Ruiz rubber match. Very, very possible.
There's a lot of it's the heavyweight division is anything could happen. Like like you always say, Chris, they operate in a different stratosphere. These guys are in a different world. Andy Ruiz beats Damian Caniba, which is not an easy fight.
No, it's not. Caniba's tough.
Bro, we saw what he did to Cabrio. I get it. He did it for one round. Once again, put this on Twitter. I said, Caniba was piecing up Cabrio before Cabrio took over. You can't unsee that. And last I checked, Cabrio is much better than Ruiz. So therefore, I feel like this is going to be a tough fight for Ruiz, who hasn't been in the ring in 2 years. Caniba is big. He's long. He's accurate.
Good amateur pedigree too. He knows how to box.
It's the TNT September event with Vito Mlynecki fighting Amo Williams in a kind of loser leaves town fight there.
I like that fight too.
It's not terrible. I like that fight too. I mean, it's just a perfect TV card like TNT. Like, this Ruiz fight should be fun. They're gonna hype up Ruiz, but I agree. Like, he can find himself right back in a big fight after this because of his name, because of the heavyweight division.
He's also a former world champion. He's a former world heavyweight champion, and he's Mexican. He's the first ever. Like, that's a big deal.
It comes down to the desire. It comes down to, does he want it? Like, one of the most wasted talent stories there is in boxing is this guy.
Did you see his diss track?
Oh, it's horrible.
His music video diss track where he's calling out, like, everybody.
Bro, come on, I saw that. It was in, like, the backseat of a car. I mean, no one spent their money in more fun ways than Andy Ruiz.
Yeah. Yeah, I was excited when he first come back, and then I saw the diss track, and I was like, uh-oh. When guys start making music, their careers usually go.
Pew. Yeah, I remember when Wilder first started making the music.
Wilder.
Only guy that can make the music Berlanga, and knock people out is Roy Jones.
Yeah. Y'all must have forgot.
Oh, dude, but
he fell off shortly after that, too. Yeah, that song still hits.
Can't be touched.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, when I'm cleaning my apartment, I throw that on. Fucking start shadow boxing.
Roy's a special man.
Special man. That's really it. Errol Spence adding 2 pounds to the catch weight.
I don't like that sound of that, man. That's not good. That's not a good sign. All of the rumors and the speculation that kind of gives credence to it, I don't like that.
I don't want this to be a bludgeoning of Errol Spence.
Yeah, I don't think.
But all signs are pointing to that. I don't like the way he's moving in some of these training videos.
Nah, don't like the stuff I was hearing. Doesn't sound great.
But yeah, that's next week. That's next week in Australia, along with Anthony Joshua fighting Prenga on DAZN. That's really Diego Pacheco fights this weekend.
Yeah, with Aleem. They got real chippy at a press conference. Aleem's a tough bastard. He went the distance with Lester. You know, he lost handily on the scorecard, but he was in the fight.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Pacheco's career.
Yeah, it's very stagnant.
He's got early Munguia vibes where, like, he got quick. He got ahead of his skis, but, like, overachieved a little bit. Then they reined him in. But the thing with
he was super young, so they reined him in. They should just let him fly, man.
Well, Munguia, he's a champion, and then they pulled him back. They're like, you're a champ, but you're also a prospect. Like, you can't fight Golovkin on short notice. And now Munguia is in probably the best form that he's been in a long time. All right, that's our episode. Chris, you're heading out on the road for a Pro Box card.
Yeah, I'm going to be over in San Bernardino. We got Brian Flores and fighting Navarro. Good fight. We got Joshua Anton is fighting Vladimir Hernandez actually a really interesting step up fight for Anton. Yeah, good, it's a good card. Had it out in a couple hours.
Yeah, and you got the Argentina final on Saturday. Where will you be watching?
On that? Sunday.
Sunday.
On Sunday.
Will you be home in time?
I will be watching it in the air.
Oh, not the worst.
Not the worst.
Not the worst.
Can lock in and make a lot of noise, make people fucking really mad on
everyone on that plane will be watching.
Yes, and most people will be rooting against Argentina, from what I understand.
Yeah, people
from what I see, I don't know.
People don't like you guys.
Yeah, but like, it's a good game though. Spain's good, man. This is going to be a very interesting, high level soccer match.
Yeah, I'm happy it just wasn't another rematch of France and Argentina. Get some different blood in there.
I thought for sure that was what it was going to be.
I'll be watching, even though I hate soccer. I'll be watching.
soccer hates you too, buddy.
I FOMO. I have to be watching the thing that everyone's watching.
Yeah, you're definitely a FOMO guy.
This is how I am, baby. All right, everyone, we'll see you. Well, you're going to be out Sunday. You're going to be flying. We have Najee stepping in.
Yes,
our co-host.
My guy, Najee.
Cigar Talk. We'll have him say some crazy stuff, probably against anti-Usyk rhetoric. And we'll have a good time with Najee on Sunday's episode. And then you'll be back next week. All right, everyone, keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. Stay away from those leafy greens and vegetables, or else you're going to end up on the toilet. All right, see you next week. We'll